Okay, it's Monday, April 20th. It's study night, and we are studying Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, and we have been looking very closely at the timing and events concerning the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a great comment from Andy Kohlhofer about rightly dividing the scriptures, and he made the comment that in order to rightly divide it completely, we need to be living it. And I agree with that. That's why when we looked at rightly dividing the word of truth, that we went to Ezra 7:10, where Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel. So any time that there's something that the Word of God says there's for us to do that's addressed to us or true of us, we're to do it, right? We're to do it. Now, if it's a scripture that doesn't concern us, but it's for our learning, then we learn from it. We accept it as true, and it's in our thinking and in the way we understand the Word of God. But anything that gives instruction to those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, anything we're told to do, we need to be doing that if we're going to be really rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to be handling it with precision, we want to be carrying it out. So this is not just an academic exercise that we're going through here. This is the word of life that we're looking at. And last week, we started looking at the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's a requirement to believe that it happened, that God did raise Jesus Christ from the dead, as well as to confess that Jesus is Lord, to receive salvation. It's not a requirement to understand all the details surrounding it, but what's written is for us to learn. It's for us to know. And when you read the four Gospels, and again, I've been doing this for a lot of years, but when I read the four Gospels concerning the resurrection, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a lot of details given. Some records will include details that other ones leave out, okay? And the other ones will fill in the gaps. Sometimes there may be an apparent contradiction, but we know the Word of God does not and cannot contradict itself, because God is the author, regardless of who the writers were. So whether it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Paul, speaking of the resurrection, they're saying what God told them to say in the way that God told them to say it. And if you read any one of the Gospels, it seems like it's just a straightforward record with the information that's given, and each one of them is true. When you compare them all and put them together, there's a little work to do to see exactly what happened when, okay, and how everything goes together. So we're working on that. So far, we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talked about how Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures. We looked at what it means when the Bible talks about a day, and how the Hebrew way of reckoning time reckoned a day from sunset to sunset. It's different from what we're used to in our culture, and it's for many hundreds of years, we've separated the days at midnight to midnight to midnight, okay? But we read the Bible, we have to set that aside and realize, well, this is an Eastern book. This is from the Hebrew point of view, and it's sunset to sunset to sunset, and we have to keep that in our thinking. Also, when it comes to the Sabbaths, we saw that there was a weekly Sabbath that would start on what we would call Friday afternoon at sunset and go till Saturday afternoon at sunset. During that time, they weren't allowed to do any servile work, okay? No manual labor for their own benefit or to earn money. They weren't allowed to buy and sell things. Jesus Christ pointed out it was perfectly fine to heal people on the Sabbath day. In fact, that's something that should be done, because it's not your own work, it's God's work to do on that day. But we also saw that there were other feast days or holy days that were called Sabbaths as well, or holy convocations, where there was no work allowed to be done. And one of those was Passover, specifically the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was a 7-day observance the first of those days, no matter what day of the week it might happen to fall on, was considered a Sabbath. Not allowed to do any work that day. The seventh day of unleavened bread was also a Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week it would fall on. And usually in between the two would be the weekly Sabbath, Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. So we looked at that. Now, we also saw that the day that Jesus Christ died, he died in the afternoon, said around the ninth hour, which would be what we would call 3 o'clock, approximately. And it was the final preparation day for the Passover. It was the time when the Passover lamb was to be killed, which is why it says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He was killed at the same time of day, same day of the month that the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. It could be any day of the week, depending on how the weeks and the days would fall that particular year, but it was always on the same day of the month, and their months always started with the new moon, okay, and went for about 30 days until the next new moon would start another month. So on the day that Jesus Christ was killed, was crucified, at sunset would be the beginning of that first day of unleavened bread. It would be a special Sabbath. Not a weekly Sabbath, but that special feast day Sabbath that they were to observe, okay? And from the time that he died until sunset, there are some things that took place. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate to make a request for the body of Jesus Christ so he could bury it, and he had already prepared a tomb. The Bible uses the word sepulcher and tomb interchangeably, but it was like a cave that was hollowed out big enough to bury a body with an opening that they could roll a stone in front of the opening to seal it shut. So he had prepared that, and when he got permission and got the body off the cross, of course it's getting closer and closer to sunset, he didn't give it the traditional Jewish burial with strips of linen cloth with spices and ointments, but he just took a large linen sheet, you might say, and he wrapped the body in that large linen cloth and he put it in the sepulcher. And there were some women, Mary Magdalene, another lady named Mary, who was the mother of James and Joses, one called Salome, I think there's another one called Joanna, that saw Joseph of Arimathea do that, go to town at the next available opportunity to buy spices and strips of cloth and things so that they could give Jesus Christ a proper burial. But after they left, Nicodemus came and he opened the tomb, took the body, wrapped it in the linen strips of cloth with the spices and gave it the proper traditional burial. The women did not see Nicodemus do that. They had gone home already because it was getting very close to sunset and, you know, Passover meal was ready. They wouldn't have had time to go to the market to buy the spices that day before sunset. So they would have to wait until the special Sabbath was over, and then the market would be open during the daytime as opposed to night. So that's when they could buy the spices and the ointments that they needed for the burial and prepare it. And then there was another Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. They had to wait until that was over before they could actually go to the tomb to prepare the body for the burial. Now, we want to look at the timing of things. We also saw that the day after Jesus Christ was killed, it was still part of that special Sabbath, but the next day, the Pharisees and the chief priests went to Pontius Pilate and asked for some guards to guard the tomb. That's not something that they could do themselves because to guard a tomb is work, and they wouldn't do that on the Sabbath day. But the Romans, they weren't subject to the Sabbath laws, so they could get some Roman soldiers to guard the tomb, and they would be good at that, and it would be official. They could seal the tomb with the government stamp so it couldn't be tampered with, and the guards would watch that. So the guards started watching it on that next day after he was crucified, okay? And then the women, they had to wait till the day after that to go to the marketplace. And that would have been the Friday, actually, because it was in between the special Sabbath and the weekly Sabbath that would start at Friday sunset. So Friday morning or afternoon, they could go to the market and buy the spices and then take it home and prepare it And then it says they rested on the Sabbath day before they went to the tomb. Okay? So these are things that we saw in our last session. So I'd like to go to Matthew 16 right now. What I'm interested in is what day of the week was Jesus Christ crucified and buried, and what day of the week was he raised from the dead? We know the tradition of the Christian church is that he died on Friday and was raised on Sunday. But I have a problem with that because Jesus Christ said, and we read it in Matthew 12, that like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, that the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And between Friday sunset and Sunday morning before dawn, you can't fit in three complete days and nights. It just doesn't work mathematically, you know? So we want to look at what the scriptures do say. We did read in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus Christ was raised the third day according to the scripture. Matthew 16, if you go there with me, Matthew 16, verse 21, is one of a number of times that Jesus Christ told his disciples about what was coming in his death and resurrection. And in verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Okay, raised again the third day. So, you know, whatever day of the week it was the third day that he would be raised. So we still have some figuring out to do. Of course, this is when Peter objected and said, oh, this isn't going to happen to you. And that's when Jesus Christ said, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me because you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. He got reproved for his objection to that. Let's go to chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 22. It says, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Okay, let's look at Mark chapter 8. Again, the third day. He's going to be raised the third day. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, he said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Okay. Now, the other times we read, he said the third day. And if that were the only statement, it could be any time on the third day. But when you put it together with this one, it says after 3 days rise again. That means the 3 days must be completed first. And then he's going to rise again. That agrees with what he said about being 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay? So after 3 days, he would rise again. That puts it at the end of the third day. Right? Not at the beginning of the third day. After 3 days, he would rise again. Now let's look at Matthew 28. Last time we read the end of Matthew 27 when the guards were set. Well, let me take a quick look at that again because the Pharisees and scribes gave the reason for the guards as this in Matthew 27:63 when they were talking to Pilate saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. So they wanted guards to be there until the third day, meaning the end of the third day. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So the sealing of the stone, there would have been like melted wax that would be stamped with the official government insignia. and it would be evident if there was any tampering with that, okay? And the guards were to make sure that nobody got in. Now, Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, I have an issue with the way this is translated, because we know that the Sabbath would end at sunset, correct? Not sunrise. It ends at sunset. Not at midnight, not at sunrise, but at sunset. So the word translated, as it began to dawn, would have to do with the new day coming on. Just the way it is translated in another place that we read, Strong's number G2020, Epiphosco, and in Luke 23:54, it says, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. That means it was late afternoon, and the Sabbath was approaching, okay? That word translated drew on is the same word as it began to dawn. So what I'm getting at here is that this verse is not talking about Sunday morning. This verse is talking about Saturday afternoon before sunset, okay? Because it's in the end of the Sabbath, which would end what we call Saturday afternoon at sunset, as it began to dawn, or as was coming, as was drawing on toward the first day of the week, which would start Saturday sunset to Sunday sunset.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Can I butt in here?
Sure.
There's another translation I have here called ABP.
Okay.
And it reads, and late on Sabbath in the evening, on day one of Sabbath, came Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary to view the tomb.
Okay. Well, there's a translation that has it in the evening as opposed to the morning. Okay. Thank you, Doug. There are a few other translations that have it this way. One is called the AFV that says, now late on the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was drawing near, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to observe the sepulcher. So we have several translations that position this event in the evening, right before sundown on that Saturday at the end of the Sabbath. Okay? So the end of the Sabbath, as it was coming the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. So they saw it. They just went to view it. Okay? The next verse would take place after the women left. Okay? When you read the Gospel of Matthew, many times events are grouped together as if they're happening back to back. But there's a little space between the two Marys going to see the sepulcher and what happens next. And in a little bit, it'll become very evident why. But the next thing that it says is, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment, or his clothing, white as snow. And for fear of him, the angel, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Means they were completely unconscious and had no awareness of what was going on for a while. Okay? So this happened right after the women left. Earthquake, angel comes down, rolls the stone away, and sits on it. The guards are looking at this. They start shaking, and they pass out, and they're completely unconscious. So they saw the angel rolling away the stone. They would have been unconscious for Jesus Christ actually getting out of the tomb. They would not have seen that with their eyes because they were as dead men. They were completely out, fainted, okay? And the next verse, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. This did not happen that evening or at sunset. This happened the next morning, Okay. One of the reasons I already know that, based on what we've looked at so far, was that Mary Magdalene went there the next morning before dawn, and she saw that the tomb was open, and she thought that someone had taken the body of Jesus Christ away, right? If Mary Magdalene had seen the angel roll the stone away, and if the angel had spoken to her and the other Mary, she would not have been so surprised that the stone was rolled away and that the tomb was open, and she wouldn't have thought that someone had taken the body away. You see that? So this verse 5 happens hours later, okay, the next morning, and we'll see how that fits in a little bit. Now, let's go back to John 20, where it talks about Mary going there by herself, and see what else happened that morning. So, John 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Okay? So she goes there. It's dark, but there would have been a moon. This would have been the 18th day of the month. And the first day of the month is always a new moon, so the full moon would always come at the middle of the month, around the 15th. So the moon is still pretty full and would give enough light for her to see in the dark that the stone had been taken away. It doesn't say that she looked inside, but she saw that the stone was taken away. Verse 2 says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which was most likely Lazarus, because in John chapter 11, when Lazarus was sick, they said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And it says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. So he was the one that it identifies as the one that Jesus Christ loved. It means he had a friendship with him, you know? So Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, most likely Lazarus, and she said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, that was not actually true, but that was what she concluded after seeing the stone rolled away from the tomb, okay? She assumed that someone rolled it away. She didn't see the angel do it, so she thought someone had rolled it away and taken the body out. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So when he saw the linen clothes lying, those were the strips of linen cloth that Nicodemus had wound around the body of Jesus Christ. They were still lying in the position where the body had been, but now they're empty, okay? So the linen clothes were still lying, but he didn't go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, that had been about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So the cloth over his face that had been taken off and wrapped together and put in another place apart from where the linen clothes were still lying. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Okay? And what did he believe? Well, obviously that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. If this was Lazarus, he was the one that Jesus Christ had raised from the dead. He had worn linen strips of cloth like that. And when Jesus Christ called to Lazarus, after praying to God, he called to Lazarus, come forth out of the tomb. Lazarus came forth, and they had to unwrap him, you know, and set him free. But he would have had that experience. And when he saw the linen clothes lying there, he knew that, okay, the body had gotten up, but the linen clothes are still there, and he saw it and believed. It doesn't say what Peter's response was yet at this point, but it does say, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't know it. They didn't understand that scripture. They didn't get it yet up to that point that he must rise again from the dead. But either they do it this time, or they certainly will when Jesus Christ will explain it all to them after he shows up in his resurrected body. But it says, then the disciples, Peter and the disciple that Jesus Christ loved, went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. She's crying. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, they weren't there a minute ago, and Peter and the other disciple were there, but here they are now. And it says very clearly that they were two angels. They're two spirit beings, and they were wearing white clothing. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Either she wasn't looking at him directly in the face, or just wasn't expecting him there because she thought that he was dead and someone had carried him off. So she wasn't expecting to see him, and she didn't recognize him. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne or carried him hence, or taken him somewhere, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Oh, what a thrill that must have been for her. And it was when he spoke her name, and she recognized him then. And she knew that he was alive from the dead. How exciting. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. That means his disciples, that would also refer to God as their Father, the same as he would. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Okay? So he gave her instructions what to say. He said, don't touch me. Haven't ascended unto my Father yet, but tell my brethren that I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Okay? In a little while, we'll look and see what he meant by ascended to the Father. But anyway, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. It doesn't tell us in this gospel record what the response was to that, but it does tell us that in another gospel record. So we will go to Mark chapter 16 to see what the response was when Mary told the others that she saw Jesus Christ raised up from the dead. Mark 16, verse 9. It says, Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Okay, so she had received great deliverance at the hand of Jesus Christ, and she loved him dearly and called him her Lord, and was so sad when she thought that he had been taken away and she didn't know where he was, and so thrilled to see him alive again. But she was the first one. This Mary, who had been possessed previous at some point. He couldn't cast out seven devils unless she had seven devils to begin with, right? So this is Mary Magdalene. So he appeared first to her, and verse 10 says, And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept, like Jesus Christ had instructed her in John 20. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They believed not. She told them what had happened. She delivered the message that Jesus Christ had given to her to tell them, and they believed not. They didn't believe her, which is very unfortunate. But now I want to go back to the beginning of the chapter, because sequentially, or chronologically, verses 9 to 11 happened before what we're going to read about in verse 2. But in verse 1, it says, And when the Sabbath was passed, Okay. This would have been the special Sabbath that started at sunset after Jesus Christ was buried. When that Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices. They bought those spices on that day after this special Sabbath, that they might come and anoint him. That was the reason why they bought the sweet spices. Okay. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, or literally from the Greek, the sun having risen. So when they came, the two Marys and Salome, this was after Mary Magdalene had been there while it was yet dark. Okay. Saw the tomb open, got Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved, and they looked at it, and then Mary saw Jesus Christ herself, and he told her to deliver the message, tell him, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God, and she gave him the message, but they didn't believe. Now she's going back to the sepulcher with these other women. It doesn't say that these other women believed Mary, but they're going with her to the sepulcher. Okay, and if they're going with her with the spices that they had prepared, that would indicate that they didn't really believe Mary's account of seeing Jesus Christ alive from the dead, right? And the next verse, it says, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Now, obviously, Mary Magdalene wouldn't be saying this or asking this question because she had already been there and knew that the stone was already rolled away. And she probably would have told the other women that the stone was already rolled away. But this is saying that they said among themselves, which would have to be the other Mary and Salome saying among themselves or thinking in their hearts, who's going to roll us away this big stone so that we can get in? Now, if that is the case, that would indicate that they did not believe Mary Magdalene at all, because they expected the stone to still be in front of the door of the tomb, right? But there is evidence that this is not translated correctly. All of the Greek texts do have "who shall roll us away the stone" in the future tense, okay? And in the Aramaic, reportedly, there are Aramaic texts that have it in the past tense, who did roll us away the stone. Now, if you look at the Lamza Bible and the Murdoch, that they both have it in the future tense still. But there is one, it's a translation from the Old Syriac by F.C. Burkitt, and he translates it in the past tense, who hath rolled away for us the stone of the tomb. Meaning this is something that they would have said once they got there and saw the stone rolled away, and they say, well, who rolled this away, you know? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were very startled to see this person in there. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Okay? So this angel announced to them that he was risen. And he said, but go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter, make sure Peter hears this, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Now, this would agree with what Matthew 28 says, that the angel that rolled away the stone and sat on it and scared the guards to death spoke to the women. So one angel in this case that told them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee and Jesus Christ will meet up with them there. Verse 8 says, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Okay, means they didn't speak to anybody that they might have met along the way before they got to where the disciples were. And then it kind of goes back in time to tell us about Mary Magdalene seeing Jesus Christ early the first day of the week and what happened there and how nobody believed her. And then it talks about he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. This would have to do with the two on the way to Emmaus, which we'll probably get to look at next week. But in the meantime, let's go back to Matthew 28, where we were. Matthew 28. So we saw that It was in the end of the Sabbath that Mary and Mary went to see the sepulcher before sunset. Then they left. There was a great earthquake. Angel of the Lord came. And it's obvious now, after reading the other records, that Mary and Mary didn't see that angel, because they wouldn't have responded the same way that they did. Mary Magdalene wouldn't have thought that someone had taken the body of Jesus Christ away. And it says that his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. That agrees with the angel in the tomb dressed in white. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men, so they would not have witnessed the actual resurrection itself. And the angel answered and said unto the women. So this would be after sunrise the next morning that verse 5 takes place. So the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. But we found out from the Gospel of Mark that they were not believed either. Okay, but look at this. On the way, and the other records don't tell us this, but this one does. On the way, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." Hello, everybody. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, he didn't tell them, "Touch me not." He let them hold him by his feet. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid, and go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Okay? Now, a couple of important points here. The timing of this, we see it was in the morning, the first of the week, before sunrise, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, saw that it was empty. After sunrise, came back with the other women, and they saw the angel there. And both Mary, you know, when she was there by herself, she got to see Jesus Christ alive from the dead. You know, Peter and the other disciple didn't get to witness that, but Mary did. And then the other women, when they came back, they saw Jesus Christ. The first time Jesus Christ told Mary, "Don't touch me, because I haven't yet ascended unto the Father." The second time, it was okay to touch him. So something happened in between. And we're going to look at that next week, because we don't have time tonight to look at what he meant by ascending unto the Father, but we will. And that's kind of a mystery at this point. Why did he say, "Don't touch me," before sunrise, and then after sunrise, it was okay to touch him? What did he mean by ascending unto the Father? We know that he can't have meant the ascension 40 days later, because the same day, it was okay to touch him. And we'll look at other records where he encourages them to look at my hands and the wound in my side and all that stuff. So it was okay to touch him, but not when Mary saw him the first time. So we're going to look at that. Regarding the timing of this, we saw that he had to be buried 3 days and three nights. He would be raised again on the third day. And it was after he was buried for 3 days that he would get up. By Sunday morning, before dawn, he was already up. The first one to see him was Mary Magdalene. Okay, the tomb was already empty. We know that he died 3 days before he was raised, in the afternoon, around 3 o'clock or so, in our reckoning, and he was buried shortly before sunset. Okay. We know that the women went at the end of the weekly Sabbath day before sunset. They viewed the tomb. He had not yet been raised yet at that point, but he was very shortly after they left. So he was raised from the dead, we can see, before the end of the Sabbath, right before sunset on what we call Saturday. Okay? Saturday afternoon, right before sunset, would have been the completion of 3 days being buried. If you count backwards from Saturday afternoon, Friday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, that would be the time that he was buried. So the crucifixion would have happened on a Wednesday, okay? It was the 14th of the month. At sunset would start the 15th of the month, which would be the first day of unleavened bread. So that would be Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset would be that special Sabbath. They would have the Passover meal that Wednesday evening, and then they would go to bed at night. The next day, they were not allowed to work, couldn't go to the market. That special Sabbath ended the Thursday at sunset, and then the next morning would be Friday morning. That's when the women could go to the market and buy the spices and take them home and prepare them. But then it says after they bought the spices, they rested on the Sabbath day. It would have been the weekly Sabbath day starting Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Right before sunset on Saturday, or late in the day, it said, the women went to view the sepulcher. They viewed it. They left. Then, still maybe minutes before sunset, at the end of the third day, the earthquake, the angel came down, rolled the stone away from the tomb and sat on it. The guards looked at the angel, started shaking, fell down as if they were dead men. And then that's when Jesus Christ would have gotten out of that tomb. So that the next morning, when Mary Magdalene went back before dawn, the tomb was empty. She ran to get Peter and the other disciple. They looked at it. They saw that it was empty. They went back. Mary looked inside, saw two angels, right, that spoke to her. And they asked, why are you crying? You said, well, because they've taken my Lord away. And then she saw Jesus Christ himself. And he said, why are you crying? He said, well, because they took the body of my Lord away. Tell me where he is and I'll take him. And then he said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. And he told her to go tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. In the meantime, don't touch me. She went and told them. They didn't believe her. Came back with the women. They brought the spices to anoint him because they obviously didn't believe her either. But when they saw the tomb was open and they looked inside, they saw the angel, the same one that had rolled the stone away, told them, he's not here. He's risen. Go tell the disciples, go to Galilee, and they'll see him there. Okay? So now we know the timing of it. Wednesday sunset to Saturday sunset, buried in the tomb, and appeared the first time to any human being saw him alive from the dead was Mary Magdalene early in the morning, and then others saw him. And then next time we'll get together, we'll see who else saw him and what else happened that day of his appearing, and also why he said, don't touch me at first, and then it was okay. All right, so still have a couple of cliffhangers to consider. So come back next week and we'll find the answers to those questions, okay?